Hello, I am Paul Toko of West Valley Grace Fellowship in Sun City, West Arizona, and I am filling in for Mark Dilley this Sunday, October 6th, 2018. I'd like for you this morning to turn into your Bibles to Acts 28, 20. We're going to be reading verses 20 through 28. So look in your Bible, Acts 28, 20. And I have not marked my Bible so as to take time and not be ahead of people. Acts 28. So if you hear the pages turning, that's me looking. Acts 28, verses 20 through 28. For this reason, I asked to see you and talk with you. This is Paul speaking to Jewish leadership. It is because of the hope of Israel that I am bound with this chain. They replied, "We have not received any letters from Judea concerning you, and none of the brothers who have come from there have reported or said anything bad about you. But we want to hear your views, what your views are, for we know that people everywhere are talking against this sect." They arranged to meet Paul on a certain day and came in even larger numbers to the place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God and tried to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses. That's a very important fact to understand. He was trying to teach them just about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Verse 24, some were convinced by what he said, but others would not believe. They disagreed amongst themselves and began to leave after Paul made this final statement. "The Holy Spirit spoke in truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet, 'Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I will heal them. Therefore, I want you to know that God's salvation has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen." Let's pray. Dear gracious and heavenly Father, we thank you for the word, your provision of understanding of who you are, and the grace and the message that you've sent to us, and the spirit that you've given that helps us understand. Father, be with all these people who are listening today. Open their minds and their hearts to hear the truth of anything that you would provide, not based upon what I'd say, but what your word says and what you give them. In your son's precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ, risen and ascended. Amen. My subject today is a broad look at salvation in the Bible. This subject is a little hard to understand because I am speaking about it from the perspective of the Apostle Paul. And Peter had something to say about how hard Paul was to understand. I'd like to look at 2 Peter 3:14, where Peter speaks about this difficulty. 2 Peter 3. Second Peter 3:14-16. Peter writes, "So there, dear friends," as he writes to Jewish people, "since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. And here's where he speaks about difficulty in understanding. He writes the same way in all of his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort as they do the other scriptures to their own destruction. Peter says Paul is hard to understand for some people. Peter, who walked with Christ 3 years, had the Spirit come upon him in Acts 2, 14 through 7, was given the keys to the kingdom, Matthew 16, 19, started a small group of people and sat as an apostle, Acts 2, 42 through 47, and who no longer is controlling that group and had problems controlling that group, Galatians 2, 11 and 12. And his group is no longer with us here. Obviously, they have all passed away. This Peter says Paul is hard to understand by people twisting his words is clarified in this verse. I'd like to read Romans 11:25 that gives clarification from the Apostle Paul as he, I believe, writes about one of the problems that the Jewish people were having. And they were involved in not cooperating. And as a result, a judgment was declared upon them that we read in Acts 28. And so I'd like to go to Romans 11. Romans 11, 25. And we're going to be reading down to 28. Romans 11, 25. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. He's talking about people who are now hearing the word that was taken away from Israel. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. Now this next verse is a little bit important because their being lost is, to some people, a confusing item. But verse 26, and all Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer, and here's some elements of that writing, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, meaning the people of Israel. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. As far as the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as far as election is concerned, they are loved on account of the patriarchs, for God's gifts and his calls are irrevocable. This is what I believe Peter is referencing when he says the Lord's patience. The Lord is being patient with them. And Paul references a hardening and giving Israel's message about Christ to the Gentiles. Ultimately, to me, this means that Israel's prophecy program is on hold because they cannot hear it and therefore can't accept it. God is being patient in waiting to reestablish what he made covenant with them about. I told my wife that I was going to be speaking on a subject and was considering for today may discuss different salvations. Before I said anything more, she explained her joy about what I said. My wife truly understands that what I said meant I was considering concepts of salvation from different groups of people outlined in different sections of the Bible. So different salvations relates to different people as I'm presenting. Different salvations relates to different people. I would now like to begin my study with a very basic overview using a Bible division exercise. You also have a handout that needs explaining. And the handout that you have is shows five different divisions. In the middle of the page, it references 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Does everybody see that on their page that you have in front of you? Heads, acknowledgement. Okay. With your pens, I would like you to attach this phrase to area one. In Adam. In Adam is connected to area one. This speaks of the development of people in the world. For section two, I would like you to write Israel. For the area labeled section three, the division labeled section three, I would like you to put on your document, Body of Christ. In the area of section four, I would say Israel Restart. In the area of section five, I would like you to write Revelation. There we have it. In Adam. 1, 2, Israel. 3, Body of Christ. 4, Israel's Restart. 5, Revelation. As the study goes on, I will make some declarative statements to help you understand what I am trying to convey. And I hope that you understand that it's from the Spirit if you receive anything good out of this. We will then continue an overview of the salvation, but we will then be drilling down lightly into the biblical text to view more specific issues. This is not a very in-depth and heavy Bible verse message, but it is more for helping develop a platform understanding. If a person understands what I am conveying, that person will most likely be able to understand why there are so many divisions and arguments in Christianity. I believe that people develop different platforms, generate different ideas, or even worse, have different ideas and then generate platforms to fulfill their ideas. So I'm giving you a platform I think will help give some continuity to the Bible. I also hope another byproduct of this lesson is that a person will see that the method of Bible division I am describing actually answers the larger majority of confusion issues about salvation. Now, if a person has a hardback Bible, that is better for the lesson I'm giving today. If you don't have a Bible, there's a handout to give you a visual of the lesson I'm trying to teach. Now, the goal of this Bible division function is to divide the Bible into five sections using your fingers. Mark Dilley did a similar thing with me when I first started to understand portions of what I am presenting. It was a physical, tactile, you could touch it, experience that helped burn some ideas into my head. And so I want to share that with you today. Ultimately, we'll be converting these five salvation divisions. These divisions relate to three salvations. We'll call them salvation programs. The first salvation program is the people in Adam. We will. Yes. The second is in Israel. We've got these covered up. And third is the body of Christ. So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at these three groups. These are the three groups involved with salvation. Israel, the men in Adam, Israel, and the body of Christ. The concept is understanding divisions. People listening on the internet may not have the handout. I will try to be specific in the numbering and calling out the associated groups and trying to get you to understand biblical structure. So please forgive me if I am being repetitive, or else use it to your advantage. I will, however, the visual examples I'm going to give is best suited by having a Bible book, making this an experience of seeing your fingers going into the Bible and recognizing these five division points located and the sizes of the divisions. On the outline, you'll notice that there's these size variations of 1, 2, 3, and 4 are just general depictions of how the Bible will look when you're done after sticking your fingers in it. I'm going to ask you to use this experience using the four fingers of your left hand. I'm left-handed, so I've got an advantage, but I'm going to ask you to use your left hand. Place your left hand's ring finger as a bookmark in the area of Genesis 11 and 12. Go to your Bible and stick your finger into Genesis, your ring finger into Genesis 11 and 12. Depending upon your Bible style, it may have Genesis 11 and 12 on the same page. It may have some on different pages, but just stick it in the general area. Genesis 11 and 12. Stick it in the top of your Bible. It's a lot easier to handle the situation. Place your left hand's middle finger as a bookmark in the area of Acts 8 and 9. Scroll through your Bible, find Acts 8 and 9. Place your left hand's index finger, your pointing finger, in the area of Acts 8 and 9. Place your index finger point area between Philemon and Hebrews. I'm sorry. Place your hand's index pointing finger between Philemon and Hebrews. Now, look at the top of your Bible. Look at the top of your Bible. You will see that the divisions align with the description of what you have on your handout. You'll see that the divisions have different numbers of pages in those divisions. Area 1 represents Genesis 1 to Genesis 11, the develop of in Adam, people being born in Adam. The bigger section between your ring finger and your middle finger speaks about what is in Israel. The division of Bible that's between your middle finger and your pointing finger is a very small section of your Bible. It speaks of the body of Christ. And lastly, I'd like you to put your finger in between, your thumb in between Revelation and Jude. So we have a very small section of Bible to the left of your fingers. We've got a real big section of Bible as you start to get in. You have a medium-sized section of Bible as you get to the body of Christ. You have a medium-sized section of Bible as you get from the body of Christ to Jude. And then you have a very small section of Bible. The smallest section is Revelation. This type of training becomes harder as electric Bibles become so widely used, as Bibles become replaced by electric devices. This training will most likely go away, so I hope you can come to appreciate this and we'll pass it on. Now, I'd like to go through a little bit of exercise. The reason why I said use your left hand is I'd like you to use your right hand. your right hand, what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to, you can use your hand out now if you'd like. You can take your fingers out if it's uncomfortable for you. You can use your hand out now. What I'd like you to do is I would like you to place your right hand on the in Adam section, the first section of the Bible to the left. And I'd like you to move your hand across your sheet or your Bible all the way to the section labeled verse 5, Revelation. The people in this time are growing and living and dying, and they go across through time. This example is a representation of a timeline. They go through time, and they all meet up in Revelation. For this next group, Israel, I would like you to place your fingers or your right hand at the beginning of the Israel section to the left and move it across the page until you hit the division that talks about the body of Christ, division 3, body of Christ. What I'd like you to do with your hand is make a fist with it. That symbolizes that the point that Israel has been hardened. Move your hand over in the fist to the body of Christ. When you get to the end of the body of Christ line, open your fist, then touch the Israel restart, and move your hand over to the right as it touches Revelation. There again, that represents Israel from beginning, Israel's creation. They're being built, raised up. Then they come to the point where they are hardened. If you look on your chart, you'll see two references, 2A and 2B. I believe this is a big part of confusion because 2A represents the hardening of Israel, where their program comes. 2B represents Israel being unhardened so that they can continue on. And last, we need to talk about, we've already talked about Israel, we've talked about Adam. Now let's talk about the body of Christ. I'd like you to touch the section of the Bible that talks about the body of Christ, that small section of Bible that is in between your middle finger and your pointing finger, if you still have your hands in your Bible. That speaks about the body of Christ. What I would like you to do is I would like you to touch that section and then pull your hand away. That means that all of the information about the body of Christ is kept in this section. All of the information about the raising of the body of Christ, you've probably heard the term rapture, represents that information found in this section. None of the other books are necessary to speak about the body of Christ, and none of the other books hold information about the body of Christ. None of these divisions talk or control or speak about the body of Christ's information. I will remind you of the verses we read at the beginning of our lesson. I'd like you to turn back to Acts 28, 23 through 28. Acts 28, 3 through 28. I'm sorry, forgive me. Acts 28, 23 through 28. And I want to read this again with this understanding. They arranged to meet with Paul on a certain day and came in large numbers to place where he was staying. From morning till evening, he explained and declared to them the kingdom of God. Now think about that. Acts 28, what he's speaking about. And he tried to convince them. So one of the things that has to be made is, because they're struggling here, is this hardening a part of something that has already happened or something that is happening at that point? He tried to convince them from the law of Moses and the prophets. So the subject matter Paul is speaking about here to the Israel people only includes what was from the prophets and the law of Moses. The book of the body of Christ was not fully developed. It was in development, hidden for some time. But this verse says what he was using to discuss with them. They disagreed amongst themselves and began to leave after Paul had made his final statement. And we know the rest of the verse of 20 of the verse, the Holy Spirit speaking of truth, and it was taken away. Acts 28, Paul's meeting with the Jewish leaders. Paul told them that he was going to take the message to the Gentiles because Israel would not accept what Paul was preaching. Paul is unique and gives the message to Gentiles, but remember, Israel will not hear nor accept the message about Christ, a hardening in part. However, when the last member of the body of Christ believes in Christ, the rapture will take place, and Israel is now back on track to fulfill the promises were given. Israel's heart will no longer be hardened. Interesting. I believe they will be able to read the books that we have left behind. They will read about the body of Christ and understand their hardening. What was left for them, what was written back in long times past, were, I believe, books that helped them find out what's going on. They also find Hebrews, James, and Revelation. I would like you to go to those books. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 1. Let's listen to the address here. In the past, God spoke to our fathers through the prophets and at many times in various ways. But in these last days, Peter was speaking about the time he was there, as in the last days. But for this new group, they find this information. In the last days, he had spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. Let's go back to verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers. Our forefathers is speaking about Israel and their situation. Let's go over to James. Going to find another address. James, to this, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next verse is very important. To the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. This book is addressed to scattered Israel. It again was written at the time before Israel was scattered, and now they're scattered. They were a little bit scattered, but this is, again, a dual-purpose reference. And let's look at Book of Revelation. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. 2,000 years later, what soon must take place has still not happened. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw, that is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of this, next word's important, prophecy. Prophecy being a future set of events. So Israel will be able to see, once they come out of their hardening, these three books and be able to relate to what has happened. So in this case, we have three Bible divisions associated with Israel. Divisions 2, Israel. Divisions 4, and divisions 5. Divisions 4 is where we found Peter's address, and we found Hebrews, and we found in 5 we find Revelations, in 4 we found James. Israel's mind will be repaired. They are broken and not understanding. I believe Jeremiah 31:31 clarifies how that gets fixed. So turn with me to Jeremiah 31:31. Jeremiah 31:31. The time is coming, declares the Lord. So again, it hasn't happened yet. When I, the Lord, will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. They are a broken kingdom. The Israel kingdom was split apart and it broke into two kingdoms, Israel and Judah. When he says, I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, it will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them out of the land of Egypt. The Moses story. Because they broke my covenants, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor, or a man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. This correction here, speaking about in section 4, division 4, Israel's restart, I believe this is the conclusion point of where this event is necessary. It's not a proven biblical text, but I believe it makes sense based upon the divisions that we've seen. And we didn't build this as a straw man, we used the Bible as the reference for this point. So how do they get out of this hardening? To my knowledge, this is the only way I know of that can happen. I have an important question for understanding. Are we still in the body of Christ, division 3, or in Israel, division 2 or 4? Rapture, division 3, or Israel under law, division 2? Question is, where are we in this process? Are we here, here, or here? Israel's division number 2, body of Christ division number 3, or are we here? Are we here waiting for promises to be fulfilled? My understanding is that we are still in the body of Christ waiting for the last members to understand, have belief in Christ alone is what saves us. I believe we are here in body of Christ 3, the time where grace alone saves. We sang about grace, grace, God's grace, grace that pardons and cleanses within. That verse really applies to this section here, because in no other section do we ever find that faith in the risen Lord and ascended Jesus Christ, looked at as the body of Christ, fixes anything for anybody. So we need one more division to handle, the people that have been slated in division one, man and Adam. Throughout time again, man have lived and died and will be subjected to judgment outlined in Revelation. Here to here, one to here. Which is why I ask you to place your thumb between Jude and Revelation. People of salvation, division two, Israel, need to be unhardened. We read that in Jeremiah 31, where Israel gets a new mind. People of division, one, man and Adam, don't need to be unhardened and do not need to get a new mind like Israel needs to get here in Israel's restart, division three. They have to meet God's standards in their inheritance in the new earth, which is described in Revelation number 5. Let's read Revelation 21 through 21, 7 and 8. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. It's the last book in your Bible. Revelation 21, 7 and 8. Let's start in verse 6. This is the revelation to the Apostle John. He said to me, "It is done." He being God. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the springs of water of life. He who overcomes will inherit it all this. And I will be his God, and he will be my son." Interesting to note now the division of people that are going into this Revelation number 5 division. This defines, I believe, some of the characteristics of judgment that God will use on them. But the cowardly, verse 8, but the cowardly, those who are afraid, the unbelieving, those who didn't believe, the vile, the murderers, the sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. And so, I don't know how many people will meet that criteria of those people starting in Division 1 who have lived out through time, who have now come through Israel's program, who have lived through the body of Christ, who have succumbed during the time of Israel's restart, but they come to the Division number 5 and there is a judgment of them. And so the Bible's not real clear about how many people can meet that judgment. I don't think I could meet that judgment today. I don't think there's a lot of things in this list that I fall prey to, but I think there are a couple of things that God would be able to look at me and say, "You're not good enough." Pardon? We're in program 3. Good point, John. We are in program 3. We don't need to be worried about this. The Revelation 5 division. We are in body of Christ division number 3. We're going to talk about how body of Christ program ends. I'd like you to look at 1 Thessalonians 5:9. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. First Thessalonians 5:9. Speaking of the body of Christ, this book is written in division 3. For God did not appoint us, who is the us there, the body of Christ, to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us, that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together in him. That was verse 10. Living together in him. Now remember that Thessalonians was written in the body of Christ. Division is very, very important here to understand the scripture. Does your belief focus on doctrinal tradition or church affiliation? Or even worse, is your focus on what you were taught, possibly wrong, or emotion? Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for all good work. All scriptures. What I'm trying to say here is that we need to understand all of this in Adam, division one, Israel's raised and hardening, division two, body of Christ, division three, Israel's restart, division four, and Revelation number five. All scripture is good for teaching in righteousness. Today, I am trying to help you understand that righteousness comes from Christ, the rapture program of righteousness by faith and faith alone. Let's go look at Romans 3:21. Important first words that Paul writes, but now. Meaning, not then, but now. A righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. There's a righteousness that was known that they testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And they justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. Again, focus on the but now. I'd like you to turn to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Speaking again to the body of Christ, division 3 people. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Next important word, not by works, so that none of you can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So in this section 3, division body of Christ, your works really don't matter in the sense of your salvation. I'm not trying to say that you shouldn't be good people and try to do good, but according to this verse, your faith and salvation are God's workmanship. None of the other programs have these types of rules or mindset. Romans 4 outlines that Abraham, the man of faith, did have righteousness by faith. That's what was just spoken about. They knew about it in the time of the prophets. But let's go read Romans 16:25, and let's look at how Paul describes the condition. Romans 16:25. As he closes out the doctrinal book that he wrote, has a lot of doctrine on how to read. Romans 16:25. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him, the only wise God, to glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. The Jewish people of Division 2 did not see this righteousness. Israel, Division 2, did not see this righteousness because it was not open to them to be seen. But now it is revealed in the message given to the Apostle Paul. This section here is more verses to indicate that it is secret, it is defined. Let's go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 1 through 13. Paul is discussing his situation. Let's start in verse 1. For this reason, I, Paul, so we can't confuse who's writing this, the prisoner of Christ for the sake of you Gentiles. Surely you have heard about the administrations of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is the mystery made known to me by revelation, as it has already been written briefly. In reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Remember, Israel, section 2, did not understand Christ and would not accept him. They still can't see it. He says, again, in verse 4, in reading this, then you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men of other generations, as it has now, again, there's a now, been revealed by the Spirit. What's being revealed about this is not being revealed by me. I take no credit in what's going on here. None of the people who have given me this information have taken any credit. They can't when they read this book. It is revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together of one promise in Christ. And I need to explain that a little bit, because Israel is a nation as a whole, receives their judgments as a whole. We find in Paul's writings, you heard that some people disagreed with Paul and some people agreed with Paul when we started reading Acts 20:28. And that verse may, I can't seem to remember that verse off the top of my head. That may be an inaccurate reference. But there are some Jews that started to believe this. 28:20, thank you. Verse 28:20. Some Jews started to believe what Paul was preaching. And there are some people who are Jews who claim lineage to Israel's family, but they're not hardened. Just a few of them can see what Paul is teaching. We'll have to ask God when we get to see him how he came about to that and how he decided all those things. We have the chance to ask him. But we have to understand that what Paul is reading here, he's not saying that these two got crushed. What he's saying is that some understand here in section division 3, body of Christ. They do not take it. Paul starts talking about the body of Christ. The focus of the Israel division 2 program is earthly kingdom, millennial reign. This is where we find our information about the body of Christ. Paul said it was a mystery hidden in God before creation. This is an important fact. The truth of this body of Christ information, division 3, the verse says this was decided before in Adam started, division 1. He thought of this gospel before the beginning of the world. Genesis 12 through Acts, many churches place their doctrinal focus on the salvation program, which is not for the body of Christ. Let me say that again. Genesis 12 through Acts 8. Many churches place their doctrinal focus on the salvation program, which is not for the body of Christ. This causes confusion. It is important to know where we find our salvation and not to confuse it with Israel's salvation or even blend the truth together to create something that is not biblical. The writings about the body of Christ are found nowhere else in Scripture other than the Division 3 body of Christ, Acts 9 through Philemon. And again, we read 2 Timothy 3:16. Let's go to 2 Timothy 3:16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture. Let's read that again. Maybe we haven't read it, 2 Timothy. I say again, all Scripture is God-breathed. I don't want to be confused about that. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correction, and training in righteousness. That word righteousness refers back to the righteousness that was revealed in Abraham, hidden from Israel, but now revealed. But you must not misunderstand the divisions or you will be confused. Once you understand and embrace the divisions of Scriptures, it is understood and understanding comes much easier. Faith in Christ at this time alone saves. 2 Timothy 2:15, just come back just a page. Different renderings of this, it's important to see. NIV is what I'm reading of today. 2 Timothy 2:15. Do your best. Speaking about the members of the body of Christ, Division 3. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved. You're already approved. And a workman. The people who like law like to look at that word workman and try to hook this Israel law concept to this verse. Look at yourself as one approved and a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. In the King James Version, it represents rightly dividing the word of truth. And so that the Spirit, I believe, allows people to see the difference in those translations, the difference between handling correctly the word of truth and dividing the word of truth. We are given permission by the Scripture to divide the word of truth. It is my sincere hope that you will not be ashamed. You will understand your salvation. You should correct, rebuke, and teach not only others but yourself, using the entirety of God's word to give insight with the help of the Spirit about salvation. I want to read 2:14. Your fingers are getting tired. We're getting close to the end here. I think it's, I don't have my reference here. I think it's 2:14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit came and to the people of the time of the Israel Division 2 and was not permanently implanted upon them. He had the ability to come and go. But in our area, we are in the body of Christ. Are you relying on the Spirit to teach you today? Or are you using your own understanding or emotion to find truth? Our blessed hope For the body of Christ rests in a single verse. I'm going to close out with 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18. This is, Paul is speaking about what has happened here is that people have died in the process of the making of the body of Christ. And the people are wondering, well, I'm here, I'm alive. And Paul spoke about a rapture event to them, apparently. And some people were telling them that the rapture event had already occurred and that they might be left behind. Title of a very good book and movie that had come out many years ago. Here, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep with him. The people who are in, we understand Jesus Christ is in heaven at this present time. We understand that the dead in the body of Christ are with him at this time. This book says, according to the Lord's own words, as it states in verse 15, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ, the dead in the body of Christ, will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, right division of the word is imperative to understand, I believe, what you're telling us. The way we think about our life today is dependent upon these truths. Thank you, Father, for your Spirit that helps us understand. If I've said anything inaccurate, please take it from the people's minds that you would have them understand. And if any truth, I'm thankful for the privilege to be able to speak truth. And I'm thankful for the Spirit that gives the ability to understand it. Thank you, Father, for this time and this opportunity to hear your word. Amen. You'd stand with me and we'll be singing a final verse.